It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 738, day one of the captivity count that we had to reset, which is the first topic for tonight. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code Mike Tech Show for your free 15-day trial. You can also go directly to instanthousecall.com. And when you mention you heard it on this show, the Mike Tech Show, you get your first 3 months at half price. The show is also brought to you by MagnusBox at magnusbox.com. This is your best, secure, easy to implement, cost-effective online backup. This is the one you use for your clients. You can become a partner. Visit magnusbox.com. Check out the demo. You'll learn how to use it. You'll test with your own machine. Once you do that, you're going to want to sign up. It's inexpensive. He only deals with partners. So then you can resell it to your customers. The price, very affordable. It's reliable. And if you mention you heard it on the Mike Tech Show, you get your first 3 months at half price. It works across all platforms, Linux, Windows, Mac. You'll love it. Go to magnusbox.com, check out the demo, and let them know you heard it on the Mike Tech Show. Tonight's show, a little different. As I teased in the opening, I had to travel to another state on business, and I was gone for the last 5 days and just got back yesterday afternoon, and I am going to share my COVID-19 traveling experience and some tech that actually helped remain and keep people socially distant. So things I observed, which were very, very interesting. And they were good, there was bad, and it was very ugly. Got some stories from the trenches. Going to talk a little bit about SharePoint versus OneDrive, and I would like your feedback on that when I get to it. And we have a few emails. So first, I had a business trip that began on Saturday morning. My wife joined me. We got up very, very early. Our flights on Southwest literally began at 7 a.m. Now, remember, you got to back up from that a couple of hours. You got to get up, get ready, get driven to the airport, and you got to be there early to check in. So now, here you go. One complaint. I paid months ago, because I knew I was going to be flying a lot this year. Interesting that those trips were canceled and now I'm flying again. I paid for TSA pre-check for my wife and I. That means you pay $85 and for 5 years they do a background check and you are allowed to go through a separate line where you don't have to take out your technology. You don't have to take off your shoes. That helps me with my still broken left foot. And it makes it, I don't have to take my belt off. Well, they don't have enough people in Philadelphia Airport to staff the TSA. So I had to go through the regular line. Now, I was lucky I didn't have to take my technology out, but I had to take my shoes off. You know what a hassle that is when you have a broken foot and you got to take the shoes off? And you can't explain that to a TSA agent because now, you know, if you complain, they'll want to strip you down at that point. So you just, you comply, you obey, you do it. And I didn't like it. So that was one. And by the way, when I'm flying back from Florida, which was my final destination, there was TSA, and I was able to go through just like you're supposed to. We had to make a stop in a layover in Nashville. So observations with the COVID-19 crisis that we are living through. The Philadelphia International Airport, everybody wore masks. All the TSA had gloves and masks. It was safe. I felt safe. When I was checking in to get my luggage tags, because I already had my boarding passes, it was fine. I felt safe. So, Philadelphia, everything is closed inside the airport except one, one place where I could buy water. So we bought water. There was one newsstand open, but every place is closed still in the airport. We get on the plane, and the first thing I do, we have these really nice alcohol wipes that are very big. And I got this big pack, and I had a lot of it in my suitcase that was checked, but we took stacks and put them in. My wife and I each had a Ziploc bag, and when we sat down, we begin wiping everything, the seatbelt clips, the arms, because they're not wiping down from every trip. We've seen this. We wipe down everything. So people, I would say half the people on the plane looked at us like we're crazy, and the other half were like, damn, what a great idea. So Southwest keeps the countdown on the airplanes so every middle seat's open, unless you're a family traveling and you want to fill that middle seat, then you're fine. But the middle seats are open right now, and that made a very comfortable ride. They do not sell any beverages or any snacks. They have this little one snack, a little bag of trail mix, a very small, but they offer you a warm can of water and a straw. So you can pull down your mask, put the straw in. You have to wear a mask the entire flight. If you don't have a mask as you are ready to board the plane, one will be provided, and they make sure every person has a mask on the plane. The plane was empty going to Nashville. Where I was worried was Nashville to Tampa, my final destination. That plane was pretty crowded. There were a few empty middle seats, but that I did not feel safe on that flight. Even though everybody was masked, we were packed in a little too close. So if something happens to me, we're going to blame the flight from Nashville to Tampa on Southwest. Now we're at Tampa. I have to rent a car, and then I have to go to a hotel. And we check in. Now, checking in at the hotel, great. They got plexiglass up. It was a Residence Inn managed and owned by Marriott. And they described what we're going to expect. There's no housekeeping. If you need new towels, you ask, and they will drop a bag of towels at your door. They will provide bags for you to empty your trash into, but you are responsible for cleaning your room. You need new bed linens, they will provide clean bed linens in a bag. No housekeeper or anybody from that hotel will enter your room. This is a hotel that provides breakfasts normally. The breakfast is literally a brown bag with an orange, a muffin, a energy bar, and that's it. Now, hey, it's something, right? So that was nice. Though the oranges were very, very cold, and we took advantage of them in the morning because it's better than nothing and at least helps you get started, especially for some of the things that I had to do. Now, we entered the Florida in just terrible rains. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, lots of rain. Almost every business is open in Florida. Want to talk about the restaurants, because we had not ate in a restaurant for 3 months up in Pennsylvania, as we're still just starting phase one and just starting to open up a little bit. Florida, they're open a lot of bit. They are very open. I want to talk about an experience at Frenchie's Outpost in Dunedin. They get the A-plus award for preparing for this. When you come in, there are You know, you got all of the hand sanitizers on the wall to help you. They keep you apart. They have everything marked. If you're waiting for a table, the tables are apart. The waiters, waitresses all have masks, all have gloves. I felt safe. And now here's the tech. So they have one sheet of paper per table, and there's a QR code. They tell you, take your smartphone, point it at the QR code, and you will be taken to our menu, and that's what you use to order with your waiter. He'll come by. There are no menus that touch anybody's hand. That sheet of paper is going to get thrown out with the QR code and a couple of their specials. I love it. That is the way restaurants need to do it right now. They can't hand you a menu because how many people touched it or who else? This is great. I watched them when someone left the table, the amount of scrubbing and wiping and cleaning, and even the salt and pepper shakers were sanitized. It was a great experience, and it shows how a restaurant should open during this. And this is the experience in most of the restaurants, except for one on Tuesday night. We socially distanced ourselves. It was a restaurant at a dock in Tarpon Springs, Florida. Lots of great fresh seafood. The restaurant food was amazing, but nobody wore a mask. The patrons didn't wear masks. Where are we? What is this? I did not feel safe. This restaurant and the patrons were acting like nothing happened and there is nothing going on. That was bad. There was bad. There was ugly. Now, some more tech that bothered me. The hotel the day before to print my boarding passes. And yes, there's a reason, but I had to print a paper boarding pass. Well, their printer was offline for guests. And the two computers, one didn't have a mouse because they said, well, just email it to us and we'll print it for you. I'm like, okay. Well, one computer didn't have a mouse and they couldn't find one. And the other computer had no network connectivity. I'm like, what am I going to do? They had me, which I wouldn't have let, but I'm like, okay. I came around and I was able to use the computer behind the counter. Shame on them for allowing me, but I went around. I printed my own boarding passes and left. Probably the most dangerous thing I did was I got a haircut. I couldn't help it. My hair, it was just so long, 3 months with not getting cut. I had to get it cut. But again, when you go in, I had to download their app and sign in. And once I did, and there was hardly anybody there, the three people cutting, it was every other chair. They scrubbed down the entire chair when someone was done. And they didn't use the same, I guess, you know, cutting tools. They didn't use the same, you know, wrap so hair doesn't get on you. This is a barbershop, a haircut place that I actually felt safe. And I never thought that that was ever going to happen. What this proves is you can open. You can open correctly if you follow all of the guidelines in opening and you do this smartly. The Walmart, I could not, I absolutely could not go to a Walmart in Florida because there were so many people. There were so many people without masks. It was so crowded. I went back to the car. There's no way I could go into that Walmart because they weren't enforcing the social distancing. They weren't enforcing that you have a mask. When you entered that airplane, there were a couple places. There was another store. You can't go in unless you had a mask. I'm like, yes, thumbs up. Thumbs up with that. That's exactly what I want. There was a mix, and hopefully all the businesses up north will learn from all this. Hopefully this will make news that it will teach people, teach businesses how to open, because it's not coming from our government. If you open properly, you can do it and not assist the increase in infection numbers, which could lead to more deaths. So everybody's got to participate. We have to participate by, I wear a mask to protect you. You wear a mask to protect me. I don't know where you've been, who you've been exposed to. So you put a mask on for respect for everybody around you. If everybody does that, we can get through this until there is a vaccine that is acceptable to take. And then we can get back to normal. But you can open, and I didn't think that was possible. So by my trip to Florida, if there was anything positive, I was like, wow, this can be done. And it can be done correctly if the business owners follow. Now, there's still some businesses that aren't open because they're not ready. Like right now, my eyes are going to be on how does Disney open? Because I look to them, or at least I hope so, that they will be the gold standard of opening up an amusement park to keep their people safe. Not only the employees, but the guests that are coming in. I feel very, very confident that Disney will do a better job than Universal did. I seen what they were doing for opening up, but I don't know. I don't know if they took enough precautions. Busch Gardens, I think, was just opening or going to open this weekend down in Tampa area. So there's a lot we can all learn from this. And I just wanted to share my stories. You know, there were places where I did not feel safe or comfortable. And then there were places that I did. And I think they have to create where you feel safe. And they're the businesses you're going to go back to. They're the restaurants that you're going to come back to. And the ones that don't, you're either going to walk out and leave, or you're never going to come back. I hope I didn't bore everybody with that. Let's get to the rest of the show. A lot of work continuing this week while I was still down in Florida, and I was out of pocket on Monday more than any other day. And of course, that was a day where my son was crushed with work, and we got through everything. I had like two or three things I had to do when I got back to the hotel at night, and I was able to take care of finishing up all of our clients that needed work. I was exhausted Wednesday, starting out again at 3 a.m. and getting to the airport by 7, well, the airport before 7, getting to the airport by 5, and then to board a plane. We're boarding 6:30 and we take off at 7, transferring flights and then coming back here to my house. I was dead. And then I had work to do last night. More clients where little things, Outlook issues, and oh, I finally, the Outlook update where the search bar is at the top, I hate that. I absolutely hate the way they move that search bar. All my clients are emailing me and calling me and complaining about this. So why would Microsoft do that? I'd love to know the thought pattern. That what focus group did they test this with that thought, ooh, that's better. Let's move the search bar up to the very top like that. And let's confuse everybody. So we have to tell that my search is gone. Where did the search go? And I have to tell them it's up at the bar, up at the top. So you're probably going through that too. I have an email of someone who had to back out an update to get some things to work, to get a printer to work. One machine lost its settings, which means the CMOS battery. My son now travels with a bunch of new CMOS batteries just to have it ready for when it happens. And I had to divert him Tuesday morning to a company because of an email I got very early Tuesday morning. I had that data recovery on a hard drive, which was easy because I think it was their Windows got messed up. They did a new computer and they needed the data off the old computer. That was easy. Just put it in a dock. We were able to get everything, used FABs, auto backup, and was able to cleanly get all the data. Did that yesterday. Couple clients where updates were still hanging the system and we had to do a hard boot and let it restart and fix the update, you know, and then it would work and then they could log in. So we're still seeing that with Windows 10 updates just wreaking havoc on systems. a lot of bad emails to clients where spam and phishing emails, where here's a good one that was today. And I looked at the links and I was like, no way. When you hover your mouse over it, one of the emails was someone who has an MSN account, and it looked really good where it gave them a code for a password reset and to click on this link. And the guy sent it to his boss, who copied me. We want Mike to weigh in on this. And I looked at the links and I'm like, delete this. Do not follow the link. But even before I stated that, I did ask, did you request, is this your Hotmail account, your MSN email account? And did you request a password reset? And he did not. And yet it is. But it looked really, really good. So I can see how these phishing emails, if you don't examine and know it is very difficult to keep people away from clicking. And we get so many cleaning jobs from people who clicked on things and then bad things happened to their system. So that's still continuing. But I've seen a bigger uptick in the past week. I have a ton more stories. They'll have to wait till next week. I have some emails. The listener, Pete, who wrote in about the remote audio, where he wants the remote microphone to be the audio and he wants to hear it locally. Kevin and Tim sent me the same instructions, which I forwarded on to Pete. Launch RDP, click show options, click local resources, click settings under remote audio, and under remote audio recording, select record from this computer. I thought that would do it. I really did. I sent that to Pete, and this is his reply. Mike, wanted to give you an update. Actually, I do use Zoom and Team from my local computer. I was asking him, why doesn't he do that? The issue is mostly with Teams. I get phone calls from team members during the day, and I have to hurry and switch from my RDC session back to my local computer, and sometimes I miss a call. I thought that I had things figured out today when I went back to the office and brought a microphone with me. I plugged it in my desktop, and guess what? It didn't work. Boy, was I angry. I was about to order another desktop when I decided to look on YouTube to see if anyone else had microphone issues. Well, I found that my privacy settings were not showing my microphone to work, at least at the office. Now that I am back home, I tried again through RDC, and he made these settings that I sent him, and still doesn't work. I guess I'll just have to suck it up until I can get back to the office for good. Thanks for all your help and efforts with getting a recommendation. P.S. Since I went to the office today, I got to listen to some of the backlogs of your shows. I am up to 736 and hope to get caught up soon. Thanks again, Pete. Pete, I know you just stated, I still don't understand why you have to use Teams through RDC and not just use it right on your local computer and just stay connected that way. I'm still not getting it, but I know you need this and it's still not working. So that you got me baffled, because once I seen that from Kevin and Tim, I was like, wow, that's it. We nailed this one. And I forwarded that info to Pete and it still didn't work. All right. But that was another, there's another tip in there that he mentioned, because I run into this all the time, where a camera or a microphone, that you got to go to the privacy settings and allow apps in Windows 10 to use the microphone or the camera. By default, that sometimes is off. That's something I had to fix for a lot of my BNI members who couldn't get the camera to work and for Zoom meetings. I had multiple Zoom meetings, which leads to another topic before I continue on emails. The case management software that's based on a server for one of my law firm clients, they're moving to the cloud, and we had a meeting with on Zoom with the the software manufacturer, a technical person, and we talked about the transition. And I have to set up SharePoint, and it's a good thing they have Microsoft Office 365 Business or Premium, whatever the new name is now, and you get SharePoint. I have to set that up. They will provide me with very specific settings for setting up SharePoint, which brought up an interesting question, because I have another client that wants to move away from their local Synology NAS, where I have them connected via a VPN so they can map a drive right to the Synology while they're working remotely. But they want to have a final resting place in the cloud, and they also have the choice to use OneDrive or SharePoint. I have a couple links on that very topic, SharePoint versus OneDrive, the difference, and the basics, where OneDrive for business that comes with Office 365, you and the free version, you can share files easily. You can't do that with SharePoint. So I'm looking for, what are you rolling out for clients during this massive work from home? Are you rolling out SharePoint or OneDrive, and why? I would love to have a deeper discussion for those two points. And maybe it's how they operate or the workflow. How easy has it been for training for users? I have some users that are technologically challenged, which is going to be easier for them to be able to work like they click on a map drive today to be able to get to their files. What do you recommend? What have you been rolling out for your clients? I would really like for you to follow up. Send me a voicemail as an MP3 file. You go to Skype, go and leave me a voicemail, Mike Tech Show, or send me an email with the details at miketechshow@gmail.com. An email from Orion, who on a printer problem said, try Carrie Holzman's NetFix tool. So a shout out to two great tools that Carrie Holzman had developed for him on Windows 10 tweaks and the NetFix tool. I'm going to link them for you. And yes, I have it, and shame on me for not going to that. So Ryan, thank you for that reminder. Two emails from Dexter as we close this out. And we got, this is interesting. Mike, thanks for the great shows. Something to look forward to. Wondering if you know a way to transfer an XP mode PC to a virtual machine to run on VirtualBox or Windows Server Hostbox. There used to be a utility for VMware, and I think it had the word plate in the name, where it will just grab the machine and make it virtual. I will find out what that is. I know the person who will have the answer, and that's Winston Wolf. I will email him as to what to use. I know there's a utility that will grab any system and turn it into virtual. I know we used to use that tool when I was in the corporate world, as we went from the hardware to the virtual. I paused the show and searched. I knew it had the word plate in it. I think it's called Plate Spin Migrate, and it's to transfer physical to virtual. Now, I don't know if you absolutely have to have VMware. I don't know if you're able to use it where you're going to be on VirtualBox. I'm not sure. I'll still have that link in from MicroFocus to take a look at. But if it's not this one, it's going to be software very similar to this. Hopefully, Dexter, that helps. And we have the final email, which is also by Dexter, which we're going to tackle. One is an info and then a question. Mike, ran into a problem where we send jobs to a printer from a PC with Windows 10. Item would leave the queue, but never print. Windows 10 would show printer offline. After trying a lot of different fixes and uninstall, reinstall, I finally removed Windows Update KB4560960, which was installed yesterday, and that fixed it. So great warning here from Dexter. Thank you. Also, Synchro RMM. Does it work on SBS 2011 boxes? I have one server that I have not been able to be on site to control. The agent failed because it needs a .NET, and I stopped. I don't know if I finished it, would it work totally? So I don't have a final answer for you, but we can post this in the Facebook Synchro group and ask. And I'll ask that and I'll get an answer. Because he continues, he still has a couple. Have you used the QuickBooks integration? No, but Adam, who is the hammer to me to try to talk to him about invoicing, I am going to ask him. Because I still got to reach out to him and make time. He's going to help me with invoicing. So I don't have an answer. Don't worry. I am going to have an answer for you soon here on other things. Are you letting it do your updates for PCs and servers? No. I'm pushing the updates manually. I'm not letting it automatic. Now, you can set a policy to automatically do updates whenever you want. And assign that policy to that group of clients. And I could assign a different policy for server updates. I'm doing it manually, but I'm not doing it manually on all MHS Consulting, my company. Now, my company involves my wife's system, my main system here, test systems. I am letting the updates be controlled and run. And I am happy and it's working, but I haven't unleashed the Kraken to do that across all of my systems that I manage. Can customers enter support tickets? Absolutely. It can go to a portal on our website, or they can send an email to support@mhsconsulting.net. Dexter asked a question because he's in the chat. I am pushing it through Synchro. So you'd be happy to learn. How many seats are you using since it's just you and my son? Well, since it's just the two of us, I only have two seats. So I have the two user license and I paid for the year because you got a little discount paying for the year than paying month to month. So I did a year, two users. Hope that helps, Dexter. I'll get back with the other answers for you. The best way to help support the Mike Tech Show, Tech Vets, Carrie Holzman, and myself. We share an Amazon link. Use that link to purchase everything from Amazon. But don't add everything to your cart until you click on that link from the website. Once you do that, now add all those items to your cart. When you check out, remember, your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to us that we share, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your continued support. It makes a difference. Remember to check out Instant House Call at instanthousecall.com, Magnus Box at magnusbox.com, and also check out the link in the show notes for Fab's Auto Backup 7 Pro. That's it. See you, everybody, here next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.